We're joined today by Jason Boulette. He's going to talk about non-competes. Mike is in the courthouse like any good trial lawyer should be. Let me tell you about Jason. He's board certified in labor and employment law and the outgoing chair of the L&E section of the State Bar of Texas. Texas Super Lawyers identified Jason as one of the top 100 lawyers in Texas and one of the top 50 lawyers in Central Texas for 2023. He's also voted a 2022 Austin Monthly Top Lawyer and Lawyer of the Year in 2024 Management Employment Law. He's a Texas Rising Star, a frequent speaker at the Corporate Counsel Institute talking about non-competes, and so very entertaining. Let me turn it over to Jason.
Thank you very much. So first off, Gary and I had a talk, and I was like, man, I should have called you. He's like, no, I should have called you, and everyone wants to talk about non-competes. It's just that much fun. So I know, right? And then there is enough to cover that what I probably should have done is say, Gary, cover the rule and let me do the rest. But that's not how my brain worked pre-coffee for whatever set of reasons. So what we are going to go over is, not shockingly, the FTC's ban on non-competes. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background on this. We've been doing one flavor or another of a non-compete talk, we being the royal we, Mike and I. TRO landed in the office on Monday. We flipped a coin. One of us won. One of us lost. One of us is here smiling. The other one is not. You figure out kind of which way that went, who's happier than the other. I will say I'm very, very, very glad to be here. And then this dropped, right? So we've got a paper. And suddenly the FTC says, I would like you to throw away your paper, and I would like you to write a brand new one all about the rule that I just delivered with several pages of preamble commentary that is fairly meaningful. Now, I'm going to not bury the lead here. I'm not going to bury the lead. It is my strong opinion this rule is not going to stick. So if you want to just, tune out for the next hour and kind of not care why, just some guy said it's probably not going to really stick, then go for it. A little dangerous because I could be wrong. I could be very, very wrong and it could stick. However, if it does stick, here's the flip takeaway. You can't use non-competes anymore. That's it. It's not the end of the world. It's California, which is, in depending on your point of view, very close to the end of the world, but is not the end of the world. So really what we're going to walk through is, well, then what is this thing doing? What is it trying to do? And what is the real world practical impact today? I can tell you that one of the real world inside practical app impacts today, it is tilted the way in particular I think executives are looking at the agreements you're putting in front of them. There has been a collective gestalt shift in employees and executive minds because this is getting a lot of press. The idea that the agreement you're asking me to sign is illegal. And that does shift bargaining power. Well, yeah, but it doesn't kick in until sometime in September. I know, but the feel in the room is these things are bad and you're asking me to sign one. So do not underestimate that even if the rule does not stick, it is very likely going to have an effect if you are asking particularly a sophisticated actor to re-up something like a restricted stock agreement that has a non-compete tied inside of it, or any kind of exit package that is conditioned on not competing for a period of time. You want to remain aware of what this rule is and what it is doing. The other thing that I've been selling for a long time, and I have recently been confronted with whether or not I believe this is fully true. So I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to acknowledge a little bit of doubt in what I'm saying. And I think I can be that transparent with you because we're all friends here. What I've been saying for a long time is the agreement doesn't actually matter all that much. And I still mostly believe that. If you made me choose between a case where I had a rock-solid non-compete but absolutely no evidence of irreparable harm, I can't show how I'm being hurt except that I have an agreement that says this person won't compete on the one hand, or a case where I have absolutely no agreement at all but I've got some really bad conduct that's really hurting me, I'll take the second case every single time. The harm is what gets you the TRO. And when most people are thinking non-compete, they're not saying, I want to go sue for years over damages that are going to be difficult to prove. What they're saying is, I want that person to stop. That's what they really mean. Independent of your agreement, that's a question of equitable relief. That is a question of irreparable harm. And if you can't prove that, you can't get what you want. And so don't miss the forest for the trees. Now, all of that said, if you have no agreement at all, and no trade secret at all, what am I suing over? And do you know the cases this happens in the most frequently? Goodwill cases.